Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Bossy dance moves begin as isolated movements such as hinge kicks, hinge swipes, body percussion, and body trombone, which combine into signature Fosse numbers like Dancin' Dan, Shoeless Joe, Old Marty Dookie Shoes, Razzle Dazzle from Chicago, Scrimble Scramble from Dallas-Fort Worth, Closin' Up Shop, The Dull Knives of an Airbnb, Brenda Pass the New Print, The Local Meteorologist, Podcast Promo Code, Spiders, Spiders Everywhere, and Dear Lord, What Happened in Here? The Truck Stop Men's Room.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. Wednesday, May 24th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo. And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Go get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. And hey, there's a new No Bunts episode up on the Athletic Baseball Show. What'd you guys get into, you and Joel, talking about today?
Yeah, we graded some teams. We got into Ronald Acuna, the most exciting player in baseball. And we recasted Succession characters with MLB figures. Because why not? The show's done. Got to do it now.
Oh, I like it. I like it. All right, go check out No Bunts with Tass and Joel. Again, the Athletic Baseball Show YouTube and podcast feed for that one. It just went up. Tomorrow night, Thursday, May 25th. We're going to have an NBA watch party for Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, because we have a Game 5, and we'll be breaking down Game 4 in a second, but that link in the show notes, just join the No Dunks playback room, and then you'll know when we're going live. But tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Hey, quick correction from yesterday's podcast, okay? We were talking about Carmelo Anthony. We had a great long talk about Melo, our favorite memories and moments. And I hit you guys with a little trivia question by way of Sam Quinn at CBS Sports. Only three players have won a gold medal and an NCAA championship without winning an NBA title. You guys got there. You said Patrick Ewing, Grant Hill, Carmelo Anthony. We thought it was only three. People pointed out Sam and myself, for not fact-checking, were wrong. A few other names to win a gold medal and an NCAA championship without the title. A lot of people pointing out Christian Laettner.
Great one.
Oh, he did it with Ewing. He created the club in 92. And then Zachary A., a big Survivor fan that always joins us at No Buffs, he said, what about Carlos Boozer? He won an NCAA championship in 2001, and then he won a gold medal in 08.
Never would have guessed that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Laettner should have got that.
Yeah, so I believe it's now 5.
Great.
Okay.
So there you go.
Nice.
Leitner and Boozer. And one and two.
Fine. I'll issue a correction as well. Yesterday I said LeBron has been swept 2 times in his NBA career. He's been swept 3 times. The 07 finals as well.
Okay. So now, including.
Yeah, including this one. Yeah.
All right. Good.
Three times.
Hey, okay. Keeping us honest out there. That's what we like to see.
I'm going
to
find a mistake that I said yesterday at some point. During this show, I don't remember one yet, but there's got to be one.
Maybe something about the hours at the mall.
Oh.
You were off on the hours.
Was I?
A lot of malls close at 9, actually, not 10, which is what I said. My bad.
Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals last night. Jason Tatum scoring 33 as the Celtics, say it with me now, stave off elimination by topping the Heat. 116-99. So they have extended this series. They are giving us a playback game 5 tomorrow night. But this was, looking like the Celtics of the regular season. A lot more, I think, last night. But what were your takeaways, Tass?
Backs against the wall. 3-0. That's what they do. The question always is it the threes that start raining down that create better basketball for them, or is it the other way around? I think it's the other way around, where they're starting to drive. They're passing it to each other. They're starting to get into their sets a lot earlier. That's huge for this team. And the defense turning into offense. That was that was what made those threes start to rain down. Yeah, Derek White chipping in with three threes because he started to drive in this game. Grant Williams coming off the bench and banging home four threes. What? Al Horford, yeah, he just started shooting. And it started just falling for that guy. But I think all those things of starting to get into their sets a lot earlier. The defense, primarily, you saw Grant Williams block Jimmy Butler on a baseline fadeaway and then catch the ball. That's Grant Williams on Jimmy Butler on just like a one-on-one shot. And Jason Tatum, effort play in the corner, making that huge block on Gabe Vincent, I do believe it was, before Vincent weirdly just turned his ankle. Yeah. So, yeah, we got a game here. It's odd, or a series somewhat, I guess I should say. Not a game here. We had a game last night to create a 3-1 series, but it's so weird with the Celtics team because they're under 500 at home in the playoffs. They're 4-5, so we're going back there. Does it feel like there's any chance of them winning four straight games? I still say nah, even if we're riding that high. It's just so hard to beat a team four times. It's remarkable that the Heat have done it three times in this series already to start. So, yeah, they played a good game.
Yep.
Everybody on the same page. Yeah, they're moving. They're into it. There was a timeout called by Joe Mazzulla, but I think that's it, really. Like, I don't know.
This timeout is really getting pitched as a heroic timeout from Joe Mazzulla after the criticism he's taken so far in the playoffs. About 3 minutes into the third quarter, things weren't looking good for the Celtics. Joe calls a timeout. The timeout heard round the NBA. And it worked because they came out and went on some huge runs in the third quarter and into the second half. Textbook tale of two halves game here, because in the first half, it looked like a guys being dudes kind of win for Miami. Even Stan Van Gundy was joking around about the stars of Miami, Gabe Vincent and Caleb Martin showing up. Will they get enough from their role players, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo? As it turns out, the answer was no, because this was kind of a slack off Jimmy, maybe not a playoff Jimmy. We've seen him have huge games in the playoffs before. He had 29 last night. Felt like a quiet 29 to me. 29, fair. 9-5. 20 of them came in the second half, but kind of overshadowed by how well Jason Tatum was playing. But you go back and look at the old Jimmy games in the 2022 Conference Finals against the Celtics. He had 8 points, 6 points, 13 points in 3 consecutive games. That stinker against Miami or against Milwaukee in 2021, outscored by Bryn Forbes. And in 2020 against Boston, he had a 14-point game, a 14-point game, a 17-point game. Jimmy can have great games, as we've seen, but he also has some games where he's not totally engaged and not able to take over, and that was the case last night. I'm with you, Tass. I think the defense picked up big time for the Celtics. That allowed them to push the pace. That allowed them to then go hunt threes in transition, make a shot, and get back and not let Bam push the ball down their throats. Yep. That was a huge change, I thought, from Boston in game four. The problem is they should have done this in game three. This should have been the attitude we saw from the Celtics in game three. Then we would really have a series. Winning four straight is tough.
Ooh.
The elimination game is tough. That's why Miami lost last night. They were even saying afterwards, we know this is the hardest one to get. If Boston does this in game three, you're really looking at a series.
Yeah, that's a good point. Tatum after the game said, just to echo what you guys are saying, tonight we played with pace and purpose. We were getting stops. We were getting out in transition. You see those layups and free throws go in and the jump shot, it starts to feel a lot easier. And I think it was even Al Horford starting the game off for the Celtics by banging a three. That must have felt like a sigh of relief for him and maybe even for this team, because it sort of was contagious after that. They hit 18 threes. The Heat only hit 8. That's a big difference. That's 30 points right there. Massive for the Celtics. And they had those runs, like you guys said. That 3-minute run where it was like an 18-0, 3-minute span where it was an 18-0 run near the start of the third quarter.
Spoelstra didn't call a timeout. What the hell?
Well, it was wild. They went 4-for-4 from 3 in that run, and that was a lot. Tatum, he was amazing. And then the Heat still got it back to within 4 by later in the quarter, and then it was another quick like 7-0 run from the Celtics. So they had the answer every time Miami looked like it was going to be once again a game, and that was pretty amazing. And not just the three-point shooting, because sometimes like in a game where it's like, wow, 18 made threes, you know, it sometimes is one guy hits 9 or 10 of them, right? And it's like a little skewed that way. But everybody contributing, that's an encouraging sign for Boston, that it was Tatum, Grant Williams, Horford, Smart, Derek White, all hitting multiple three-pointers. And now you just see whether or not they can do it in Boston and really, really give us a series here. And maybe the buttholes get tight for Miami if they have to go back there for a game six, which is, I think, in play here.
Oh, yeah.
And the Celtics finally did look like the team from the regular season that won 57 games. But to win four in a row against a very, very talented Miami Heat team, I'm not betting on it still.
'Twas but a half for the Celtics when we really look at it. One half they played like the Celtics we've expected, but this looked like the regular season. 18 threes for Boston, 8 threes for Miami. Miami could not score during the regular season, and Boston was one of the best offensive teams in the league. That's what we saw last night. We will see what it's like in Game 5 in Boston, because that's obviously a must-win game. It feels like it for both teams, but Boston, I heard Tim Bontemps saying 11-12 at home in the playoffs the last couple of seasons. Do they even have a home court advantage? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
They got to get back up to 500, both this postseason and, over the last couple of years at home. Marcus Smart did say before this game, don't give us one, Miami. Don't give us one, Miami. So they are playing better. I think their first half got them just feeling better, and then the second half they really look like themselves, as we've said. Sure, they can go win one at home, although Jimmy Butler feels pretty damn comfortable, as he said post-game. We're going to go listen to some music. We're going to drink some beers back there. I'm going to have some wine. Just brushing it off, beer and wine. Yeah, what's up with that?
Careful, Jimmy.
Yeah. But why are we mixing back there?
I don't know. Especially he's getting on a flight, too. It doesn't take a lot when you're up in the air in that altitude.
Interesting.
Guy's been filming commercials in the air for four straight seasons.
It's always basically. Michelob Ultra. I thought
that's right.
I will say, odd to see a Jimmy game, as Trey outlined, where he wasn't Jimmy. Very odd to see a Bam game after watching, really good Bam for 2.5 rounds a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Bam fades. That really quiet game from him, super quiet, 7 attempts, just seemed like he wasn't even there at times. Now they went to the line a good amount, but the Celtics were hitting. You could feel the defense in this game. They felt more alive, finally.
Yeah, and they're led by their star here. Tatum had an awesome game. 33 points, 11 boards. I thought he was super aggressive on the glass, like early in this game. 7 assists. Those are all game-high figures for him. And for the first time in this series, too, outside of that like one half where he had a bunch of assists, it was like, oh yeah, Marcus Smart is here and hitting shots. Al Horford, same thing, contributing on the offensive end. And then, more great minutes here from Grant Williams. He was really nice. Along with Derek White, those guys, the four I said, Smart, Horford, White, Grant Williams, combined for 53 points. And they're going to need that in potentially, games 5, 6, and 7 if they can get there. If you believe that the Heat screwed up by letting Marcus Smart and the Celtics have just one. I guess Jaylen Brown even reiterated that, right? Don't let us win tonight. The bravado was there. They just had to get in this massive hole, and then they were talking a big game.
Yeah, I did want to mention that because they are really a flow team, right? Like, they can get on good runs, but, the Heat have to play a better start to a game, and then we'll see if the Celtics can keep it up over 4 games. Come on. Going back to Miami will obviously be a must win in game 6, but I don't see it going 7. It's hard to believe. But I do think Marcus Smart was important, even though sometimes you watch the game and you're saying, oh, this guy's chucking. His force on the pace of play is just so important, just bringing the ball up. Like even in the fourth quarter where he didn't want to let this game go, he was the guy bringing the ball up and calling everybody up. He was waving everybody. Come on. I mean, stop being the old Celtics from the last 3 games. Why are we chilling here? And that's just really, really important because they don't have that defensive identity that we talked about, and sometimes they just have that lax attitude where we'll start running our play 10 seconds into the shot clock, 12 seconds into the shot clock. They're just a little too chill. So the Smart, I guess, confidence pregame, don't give us one, and then throughout this game was important, even though he missed some shots, and you can just watch him and be like, ah. Oh. He's shooting him out of the game, but he is important to them.
Here's the breakdown. Of all the teams that started a series down 3-0, 44, so about 29%, have managed to force a fifth game, like Boston has now done. Only 11, 7.3%, have ever made it to a game 6. And only 3, as we've talked about, which is 0.2%, were even to able to tie the series up and give us a game 7. Nobody ultimately coming back after losing the first 3 to win the next 4. Never happened in in NBA history. Happened a few times in hockey and once in baseball. Or did it happen after the Red Sox did it?
It happened after the Red Sox.
Oh, they did. Okay.
So Cubs came back 2016 World Series to win the World Series down 3-0.
Oh, no.
Is that right?
In baseball? No, I don't think it's happened more than once.
Oh, it's just the Red Sox?
It's just the once. Sorry, okay. I thought you were talking if hockey's happened.
Maybe it was a 3-1.
3-1.
So,
and maybe it'll happen in hockey this year.
Maybe, yes. Yeah. So there could be a couple sweeps. You're right. But what's interesting about this matchup, you know, being down 3-0 and now down 3-1, like, go back and look at the 150 prior instances where a team was down 3-0. How many of those matchups were the underdog, so to speak, the 8 seed in this situation, the Miami Heat, a team that lost 13 less games than the Celtics in the regular season? Like, if it's going to happen, I would imagine it would happen in this sort of scenario. Do you know what I mean? Like, the team that's was considered one of the better teams of the regular season, obviously went to the finals last year. It would be that team that's down 3-0 that finally then gets their shit together, has home court advantage in Game 5, would have home court advantage in Game 7. This is would be when it would ever happen,
I
would expect. So, you know, that's obviously what they're going to be hanging their hat on, is that as the chances of it to become the first team ever. But you don't think it's going to. Nobody does.
I think it's over in 5.
You think they lose at home?
Yeah, they
wow.
said, I'm ready for this. Jimmy said, we'll be okay. That's all I'm saying. I'm okay with that.
I actually don't. I think this goes back to Miami, and they take care of business there. But
we'll be watching on playback.
That's right.
I'm in the Heat's corner on this one. Yeah, I don't see the Celtics grit and fight. And yeah, Jimmy does feel pretty chill about it. I just don't see him having a bad game 2 games in a row.
It's possible. Random notes.
Jason Tatum, he was driving baseline on the left side. He kind of like angled back into the middle of the lane, made a layup, and Kevin Harlan yelled, geometrically, that should not have happened.
Mm-hmm. I wrote that down too.
That was a great call. I just really like that. You don't hear geometrically on a broadcast all that often.
I just thought it was like, strange because it wasn't that crazy a play.
No, not that crazy.
It was like,
that was the Jokic game winner from the previous game. Same right. exact shot.
Yeah.
But geometrically, shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Until he moved his body.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say Tatum looks a little different because he's so long. And
Yeah. No, it was a good play.
It was a great layup.
It was just a fascinating line to say. And
yeah.
Because he dropped the classic Harlan, at the beginning of it. Geometrically, that should not have happened.
I'm just all for geometry. You mentioned geometry. That's pretty neat.
You like the angles.
I like the angles. I like math.
What's your favorite angle?
The cute ones.
Oh!
What else you got?
Gabe Vincent rolled his ankle.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, basically that was the only part of his body that touched out of bounds. People have been talking about if he will play in Game 5. I assume he'll play, but maybe hampered. We saw Kevin Love came back pretty quickly last night. I guess he had a leg strain in Game 3. Ended up getting the start, so no big deal. But they don't want to lose another guard. The Heat don't. But I assume Gabe Vincent will at least try and gut it out.
Yeah. Hero has been cleared, apparently, to play, but that'd be weird to bring him back now. Yeah. I mean, maybe as a ninth man in the finals, I guess.
The Miami Herald was saying that's even unlikely. No, it could be them sandbagging.
But yeah.
The Nuggets, I guess.
There's no way he's coming back into the starting lineup. That would be bonkers. Yeah, Gabe seems like a tough guy.
Okay.
But
so you agree with Trey that you think the Miami Heat will play a better game and take care of business like they have in this series, obviously winning games 1 and 2 and like they have like throughout the playoffs here, and go win in Boston and then this? You don't think...
They're a great road team. So yeah. I don't know. The Boston home court advantage we talked about ain't all that much of a home court advantage.
The Celtics need to continue to get out in transition. They won this one, 18 fast break points to Miami's 10. They had more possessions thanks to really taking care of the ball. They didn't cough it up a whole lot in this one. And then
16 turnovers for Miami.
Yeah, and then the three-pointers, like we talked about. I mean, they had shot under 30% in the entire series Boston had. And then, you know, pop off here and hit the 18. And surprise, surprise, they have a really good record in the playoffs when they hit 15 threes.
That's
and
the key.
A 1-6 record.
That is 100% the key for Boston is to make threes, but they went small for the entirety of the game last night. I don't think Robert Williams and Al Horford were on the court together at all. That's how they should be playing this entire series, because this is a good series for them to go small and try and get more threes. Celtics were also really good at running the Heat off the line last night. Only 32 attempts for Miami. That's maybe like the fifth fewest they've had so far in the playoffs or something along those lines. But that's obviously a big win for Boston to be plus 30 from the three-point line. That is the entire game for them. So they got a hit in Game 5 to force a Game 6.
My only other random note, I just thought of it, is did we see a graphic that said Beantown?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I got very excited, and I was that said Beantown, right?
That said Beantown.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that was locked in. Other random notes, Tyler Hero's purple bucket hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, brutal, come on.
Bucket hat indoors, I don't know.
Yeah. He's worn this a bucket hat a couple times now.
It looks to be his go-to general style. He's wearing a bucket hat.
Yeah,
there
was a tweet going around. I'm sorry, I forget who tweeted it. I laughed out loud. I even shared it with Nora this morning. That he's been dressing, Tyler Hero has, throughout these playoffs, like he's a backup dancer for Sugar Ray. And I was like, that's perfect. That's the vibe he has going with these outfits, especially with these hats.
So. I mean, every morning there's a halo hanging from the corner of his 4-post bed. And on the other corner, there's a bucket hat, so throw it on.
Yeah,
literally, that's what it was, though. He just threw it on. Like, his outfit, whatever it was, the vertical stripes.
Yeah, looking like Jack Skellington out there.
Yeah, okay, without the bucket hat, whatever.
Fine.
It's okay, I think.
Okay.
But then, there's no coordination. There's nothing. It's just a bucket hat, a totally different color pattern. The bucket hat also just doesn't look good.
Yeah, yeah.
It was also too big. Like sitting on his head, like on top of his head. It wasn't like, I felt like it was not correctly on. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Like it was almost too small.
Small.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe it's too
like
small.
Like a fez almost.
Too small.
I can't tell. You're right. I can't tell. He wasn't. Yeah.
Grant Williams doing that to the bench. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
your hat. Your hat, man.
It's a little too small. I don't know. You read a style advice, and one of the things out there is take off the last thing you put on. You don't need it.
That's what happened. I think
he gets dressed by putting on the bucket hat first.
Yeah. Bucket first.
And then he puts on his shirt. Suit, no way.
Hat first.
Okay. Anything else on this?
Oh,
one
random notes for sure. We saw Jimmy Butler chewing his fingernails. Mm-hmm. What is Jimmy chewing on? It's like way back. It's not just a fingernail. He's like chewing on skin or something.
Well,
this is next level.
Yeah, that's a,
like a hardened skin, like a callus or something.
That's cuticles. That would be my guess.
But it's like he's gnawing on his knuckle almost. Like it was like his finger was disappearing. What is Jimmy chewing on? I want people to find out. I want people to ask him about it. Why aren't people asking? It's a different level than LeBron nail chewing. Like he was deep. I don't know if it's a good idea.
Could hurt himself.
Like bad for his fingers, maybe.
Like playing basketball.
Yeah, sure.
It feels like he's going to take off some skin.
Did you have a favorite play in this game? Highlight. Was it the Gabe Vincent whoop?
That was a nice pump fake behind the back in the lane. That was cool.
I guess there weren't really like Jaylen Brown had a pretty decent dunk, at least for him in this series.
Sure.
Was it on Bam? I think Bam was in the picture, if I remember correctly. But he punched it home.
Yeah.
Anything else I'm forgetting? Yeah.
A couple of plays I did like. You mentioned Grant Williams blocking Jimmy Butler.
Oh, that was great.
Do you think he intentionally restrained himself from trash-talking Jimmy? Because it looked like he turned around and he's like, not this game.
Yeah.
Not this game. Let's just continue to play basketball. No poking of any bears.
Well, I think it was...
We want to take the dub.
I didn't see Grant Williams doing a whole lot.
No.
He was hitting shots. They were rolling.
Mm-hmm.
He learned his lesson.
Yeah.
No, all right.
They
I'll
all
just
shut
keep
up.
Kicking ass. Yeah, exactly.
And then the other couple of plays I like, Jaylen Brown had one and Duncan Robinson had one where they go up for a three and see a guy wide open underneath and dish it right underneath for a layup. That's just cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah, you look like so much smarter than everybody else when that happens.
I do love when that happens on a pickup run.
Oh, yeah.
People get excited. Oh,
great pass.
I like that. Yeah, those are really good highlights. We'll see about Gabe Vincent, whether he plays in Game 5 and if he's hampered at all, like you guys were talking about. I hated that. I always get queasy when you show you the slow-mo where that ankle does. That touches the ground.
Mm-mm,
you're like, oh!
By himself, too, basically.
Yeah, yeah. After the block, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
It was like the second jump for the ball. All right, well, let's hear from you guys out there. The main question I want to know is this going back to Miami for Game 6? Do you believe Boston has unlocked something, if anything, or is it just this idea of like they're playing loose and free because, like, you know, what else they got to lose at this point, being down 3-0. Do you believe they can win there on Game 5? We'll be on playback 8:30 Thursday night. Join us then. That link, again, is in the show notes. Or is it a wrap, like these guys are saying, and Miami took their foot off the pedal a little bit, and we'll do it on the road. You tell us. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, lots of news from the NBA world. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, to everybody joining us live on YouTube, hit that like button and make sure you have subscribed, and everybody that already has, thank you, thank you, thank you. NBA silly season, it's already started, guys. Conference finals, they're not even done. And NBA silly season is here. Bunch of headlines for you, bunch of trade rumors, some free agent targets when we get to the Rockets in a second. But let's start with Jovan Buha of The Athletic. The Lakers have had internal talks about a hypothetical Trae Young trade. Now, let me give you exactly what Buha wrote. He says, for what it's worth, Kyrie Irving and Trae Young, two all-star level point guards, were both sitting courtside in Los Angeles for the second time this postseason, talking about Game 4. Young, like LeBron and AD, is a clutch client. The Lakers have had internal discussions about what a hypothetical trade offer for Trae Young could look like this summer, according to multiple league sources not authorized to speak publicly. End quote. That's from our guy Buha there. You buying any of this? I mean, I'm sure you buy the idea that they've had internal talks about...
Yes, hey, internal discussions about a hypothetical offer?
Right.
Could we trade for Trae Young? We just had the discussions here. They could. They could do it.
Could they? That's the real question. Who?
D'Angelo Russell is the... Well, I'm not saying the Hawks should do it. I'm just saying they can do it. I'm just saying there are literally ways that this could get done involving a D'Angelo Russell sign-in trade, picks that the Lakers have maintained, including number 17 in this draft, maybe 2029 unprotected. Then you're talking about other filler slash players who would be joining Russell going to Atlanta, maybe a Vanderbilt, maybe a Bamba. Just some of these random dudes.
Beasley.
Exactly. Like the guys that were traded for that didn't end up really contributing to the Lakers playoff run. I do think they probably would have to chip in a couple of picks, one for taking D'Angelo Russell and one for getting Trae Young back. I don't think it's going to happen, but I mean, when you look at what the Lakers really need, they need another offensive creator. Absolutely. They need some younger guys. They need shooting. It would be nice if they have somebody who can carry the load during the regular season. Trae Young does all that. They also need better perimeter defense and more size. Trae Young is not that. The fact that he's a clutch client makes you have to believe it a little bit here because that's who the Lakers target mostly. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Right. I definitely don't think it's going to happen with D'Angelo Russell. What about Austin Reeves as the sign and trade guy, as the main piece in a hypothetical deal for Trae Young, along with what TK said? Vanderbilt, Beasley, 23 first-round pick, 29 first-round pick. Can you get there with that? Or are the Hawks still saying, no thanks?
No, the Hawks are not doing it. The Reeves sign and trade, because he is a free agent, would have to be there, I think. It would have to be the most promising part.
Right.
As we're getting into silly season, you got to contemplate it once this hypothetical of an internal discussion happens here. That's all it was them sort of doing their jobs. Oh, yeah. You think we could get that guy? Trying to improve the team. Sure, and it has nothing to do with him sitting courtside, I don't think. Although it was interesting to see the Atlanta Hawks Twitter account post a photo of Trae Young with the caption, back to work, and he was working out. So he had to be doing work in L.A. Somebody had to send it to the Atlanta Hawks Twitter account. I just wonder about how all those machinations actually happen. That's what I'm interested in more than this trade of Austin Reeves maybe, and they could trade their first-round pick this year after making that pick, and the next pick that they could trade is a 2029 pick. It ain't good enough. Reeves and those two guys and the D'Angelo Russell situation, it ain't good enough. And unless Trae demands a trade out of Atlanta, he's not going anywhere. They didn't go get Quinn Snyder midseason to just trade their best player. You don't often see a team go and give a lot of money to a coach midseason just to say we're tearing this thing down. That doesn't happen. It's a rare thing. And Trey said at the end of the season, Quinn Snyder's our future. I think we could win a championship with this guy. Now, you could say Quinn Snyder's the future, but are you the future? If you really want to look into that, I guess. But I do think he likes Quinn Snyder. They're getting a season together.
Yeah.
And
especially if they don't go to the finals and, heck, maybe win the whole thing. The Hawks are going to be able to go, we're the real champions. We beat the champs. We took them down.
Yeah.
We kicked their ass in the play-in game. Yeah, I'm agreeing with all of you guys here. I think the fascinating part just with the Reeves is how much money this guy gets. The max the Lakers can offer him, 4 years, about $51 million, if they use the early bird rights. But they have the right to match other offers that you would assume are going to come from another team. And there's whispers that it could get as high as $80, $90 million. Another team throws that offer at Austin Reeves, and if the Lakers are pretty aggressive in trying to keep him, they can match that.
Sure.
So it's feeling like what you're hearing, like he wants to be there, they like him, I don't see him, you know, especially in this hypothetical deal being moved. I think he'll be a Laker next year. Would you rather have Kyrie Irving or Trae Young for the current Laker, like the Lakers next year, with the idea that LeBron is playing and not retiring?
So win
that's a tough call, my
win a championship. Win a championship, oh, 1 year, man, one guy.
I know it's a good question when Trey crosses his arms.
I hate it. You're ponders. Putting two of my favorite fellows against each other. If you would have asked me in February, I would have locked it in. Kyrie Irving, he's the guy for you. He's a winner. He does it in the playoffs. And then I saw what happened with the Dallas Mavericks this season. I also saw what's happened with the Atlanta Hawks here the past two seasons. I don't know.
Okay.
Kyrie.
Whoa. Yeah, I would take Trey.
Okay.
It's tough with Kyrie. I'm guessing you're going to get him for longer. We got to remember this is Trae Young. It's fifth year he just completed. He's not an old dude. He's right. Just going into year six. And yeah, it's been frustrating watching him at times for sure. But I don't think he's done. I think he was better with Quinn Snyder. I think they're talking right now. I think they're exchanging messages via DM on Twitter, exchanging photos of him working out. I think he's going to get better.
Okay. If you put the poll up, I think a lot of people would pick Trae Young over Kyrie for age reasons, play. I mean, the whole Kyrie, you don't know. He's good for a week, and then he's like, I would rather be doing something else, and maybe he's gone for a couple weeks.
Yeah,
that element. But there's, of course, the Kyrie LeBron history. And whether or not he's sitting courtside, like Buha said here, is he going to make his way there, or is he just signing with the Mavericks? Like, what's going to go on with him is the other part of this.
And Chris Haynes said similar, that it's still more likely that Kyrie is a Laker compared to Trae Young.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Ooh, can't wait for silly season.
Oh, well, we got another one for you.
Where's Kyrie going to go?
Got another one for you. Kelly Eco, our guy at The Athletic. He had a long article about sort of what the Rockets are going to do in regards to the draft and whether they're moving that pick. And then he also had in a part within that article some free agents that the Rockets could be prioritizing. And James Harden, top priority, according to Kelly Eco. Quote, the Rockets continue to maintain confidence in adding veterans to the roster, and they will be aggressive in doing so. They got nearly $60 million in cap space. They want to upgrade everything, playmaking, shooting, defense. And then outside of Harden, there's a lot of other high-ranking targets that Kelly listed. Brook Lopez, Dylan Brooks, restricted free agents Cam Johnson, Austin Reeves. And they really want a vet point guard. So if it's not James Harden, names like Mike Conley, Jordan Clarkson, Dante DiVincenzo. I don't consider those last two guys point guards, but Chris yeah, Paul could really be considered in a return to Houston. So again, this is Kelly sort of sharing the list of guys they have their eyes on. But the headline here is this James Harden reunion. And we talked a little bit already, like, is this the right move here for the Houston Rockets? Have you thought more about it?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's silly season, baby. You got to think about James Harden returning to the Houston Rockets. The big question is James Harden going to be the same guy owning the franchise again, 4 years at a max is the conversation right now. That would be a mistake. But then you look at the salary cap number and you start contemplating, who else are they going to pay that to? You mentioned other guys. James Harden is the cream of the crop right now of guys that they could attain. So let's just think about that part of it. But he's 33. You don't want to pay him until he's 37 at a max deal. There's ways around it. Harden has shown that he is willing to take a pay cut. If you sign him to a 2-year max even, and then a third year is like a team option, partial guarantee kind of thing that allows some flexibility for them in the future, I think he could be good beside Jalen Green to teach him the ropes. Now, there's a trickle-down effect. I think you'll never see Şengün run an offense again with James Harden holding the ball. And so that's sort of a negative, but they have all this cap room. They do want a vet. And so I think if you're not really just signing him because you're competing against yourself here to a 4-year max, 4 years for 200, paying him until, he's 37 would be a mistake for me. But I can see it where you're telling him you're not the guy anymore by signing to like a 2-year, 3-year thing like Chris Paul did with the Phoenix Suns, and Devin Booker slowly moved into that role. Whether it's Jalen Green or Şengün or Jabari Smith, they have guys. So I wouldn't want to say, oh, it's your team again. And I think that's not a great sign to the rest of the squad. But it'd be nice to have him around.
You don't mind the idea as long as he's not stunting the growth of these players, and he's actually building them up, and he's entering in a weird new phase, I guess. Of James Harden's career.
Yeah, we're truly,
I mean, okay, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, well,
I'm skeptical.
Awesome. Yes. He can still hold the ball and run the offense because that's what's going to happen when he's on the floor. But I just wouldn't want him doing it for 4 years.
Yeah, maybe. Right. what do you think, Trey, about Harden coming back and maybe some of these other names or whatever you think about Houston?
Well, it's quite smoky. It's very smoke season here because we've been hearing about James Harden going back to the Rockets since Christmas, basically. Like, that's a long time to be hearing about this for it just to be a negotiating ploy where he's trying to pull in another offer, another huge offer from somewhere else, which then gets Philadelphia to up their offer because he's got them over a barrel a little bit right now. So it feels more realistic to me after the way the Sixers season ended. You know, Harden did take a pay cut last year. Danwell House was a small part of the Sixers. Like, James Harden gave up a lot of money for a guy who was barely in the rotation. PJ Tucker obviously was a pretty solid player. But I would rather, if I'm the Rockets, I'd rather have Mike Conley or Chris Paul and then try and build up a Jalen Green and a Şengün for the future, because I don't think adding Harden to the team instantly makes them like a playoff contender. I think they would probably be in the play-in range because there would likely be players who want to play alongside James Harden, get some touches there. I'm sure Dylan Brooks would love to get some shots up if they can get together. But I would rather have more of like a steady vet who's going to get people involved rather than a guy who's going to dominate the offense.
Right. Yeah. So like a Conley or a CP3 even, if you can trust his health. Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. There's no doubt that they need to get some vets in there.
Yes.
Some guys that have been around this league and can at least, along with Udoka as the head coach now, sort of coach these guys up and try and win some games. Like, try and start to become what we saw with OKC, right? Where, there's some talent here. They're winning some games or fighting in for a play-in and all that. Like, at least make that step there, because they have been brutal for 3 straight years now. Like, garbage, right? I mean, these are like 20-win teams and under for a long stretch. Like, in today's NBA, that's a long time.
It's a long time.
3 really brutal years, and they never even get the number one pick out of it in the end. So, yeah, we'll see if any of those names, maybe some other ones pop up, but I'm with you. It's starting to feel like this Harden's going back. It's like, just what's the deal? Like, what are the terms? Mm-hmm. And my gut says this guy wants, at this age of his career, he wants one more big payday.
Big one.
Yeah, one more big max. And like, he'll get it. I think, or at least damn near close.
He's going to get a big number for sure.
Yeah.
It becomes an expiring after a couple of years, depending on how you frame it and all that. So if it's 3 years, you can see a championship contender saying in the third year, we'll take him for the $25 million it costs us at the trade deadline kind of thing in these next 2 years. I don't think it's a bad thing to have him as the guy who takes them, as their vet. Tillman Fertitta's restaurant business seems to be doing well. He's going to pay somebody a lot of money here.
Well, you have to, right? At a certain point. Got to hit, 90% of the cap?
The old salary
floor. Got to pay guys. Yeah. You have to have some guys on your roster.
Got to have some guys.
So we'll see. All right, next piece of news here. The NBA coaching carousel. Jump on it. The Athletic are telling us the Suns have narrowed their coaching search to 5 finalists, including such names as Doc Rivers, Nick Nurse, and Frank Vogel, along with King's assistant Jordy Fernandez, and Suns assistant Kevin Young, who some reports say, you know, like Durant and Booker really, really like, and maybe would like to see him get a chance. Do you like these headlines? Like, honestly, like this is like a new thing to me, I feel like, over the last couple of years. Like,
yeah.
There's a coaching spot, and then we get these, like, they're talking to everybody. We get that. And then we get, like, here's the list. Here's the finalists.
Here's the list.
And it's like
the finalists.
And it's like, what's going on here? Is it like
finalists?
Is it like, let's throw these names out and see what the public or our fan base or whatever does to it? And like, I always wonder, like, it's like sort of odd when you think about it. But
yeah, it is. It is weird when you hear that like Nick Nurse is a finalist for the Suns and the Bucks. I guess that means he's the top dog this summer, the most attractive coaching candidate.
Yeah,
it seems like,
and Sixers.
Is he a finalist? Did he get named a finalist?
I don't think we know their finalists.
That's exactly right. We've only heard the Golden Globes and the Oscars. We'll see what they do for the SAG Awards. Nick Nurse to the Bucks, Doc to the Suns, and Monty to the Sixers is my call.
Say it again.
Nurse, Bucks, Doc, Suns, Monty, Sixers.
Wow, Doc Rivers, Suns.
He's the most famous one. He's the most famous coach available, so I think that's why Matt Ishbia would want him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you'd think Ishbia wants a big name, and that's why the Kevin Young assistant moving over to the head coaching spot would be a surprise to me for sure.
Right.
Nick Nurse, he could be a Grammy finalist. He plays the guitar. He could be a Tony finalist.
He's the only NBA coach who could ever win an EGOT.
Yeah. That's a good point.
All right. He was on Murdoch Mysteries.
Yeah. Plays the guitar.
He plays the guitar with the Arkells.
If he somehow gets to coach one of these LA teams, I know he'll be in Space Jam 3 somehow.
Yeah, jeez. He's a real nurse. There's that, too. A lot of people know that. So you think Doc Rivers?
He can win a Juno. He's an international guy. He's coached in England. What are their awards? There's a Gemini.
I don't know. They got something.
They got Q Magazine.
There's a weird one. There's a really strange
BAFTA.
Name.
BAFTA?
Yeah, BAFTA. Good call.
Nice. I don't know. I just like imagining these guys on a carousel. That's the best part of these headlines to me is you see Rivers, Nurse, Vogel, Young, Fernandez. I just picture all their heads going around a carousel. Otherwise,
it's got to go faster. It's got to go faster.
Nice.
That was actually my worst doc in a while.
That's okay.
It's all right.
It's not Blake's fault. There, I always have to start with that. It's got to go faster. Nick Nurse makes the most sense to Phoenix to me in a weird way. If they're trying to, like, hopefully replicate what he did, obviously, with the Raptors when they fired Dwayne Casey, he takes over, they win a championship. You know, that's what's going on here. Monty Williams had a lot of success with this Suns team. Maybe not this iteration with KD coming there, but you know what I mean. Winning a lot of games, going sort of far, not getting over the proverbial hump of winning the title. Could Nurse do it with them? But Doc Rivers, you're leaning towards, ATK. You just think that because of the Ishbia and Isaiah Thomas
absolutely right.
factor of it all.
The Isaiah Thomas factor of it. He's a Chicago boy, as is Doc Rivers, Maywood, but same difference.
Kevin Durant's got to respect Nick Nurse beating him in the finals, the defense he put on Steph. Yeah, the biggest names is definitely what I was thinking of. Yeah, I think Nurse can qualify for a big enough name in Phoenix, but it would be really weird if they get an assistant, I think. Fernandez or Young.
No way. It's almost weirder that, like, Doc Rivers, like, take a break, bro. This guy has been coaching for a long time. He has a lot of success. 16 straight winning seasons as a head coach. Obviously has one title and then has come up short multiple times. It's just like, he's getting up there in age. I'm just surprised. Like, all we hear about Doc Rivers is, like, he just wants to golf.
200 golf courses in Phoenix.
Yeah. So I guess he's like,
not a joke.
I could just retire and golf all the time, or I could get paid $10 million
and golf
to win
time.
A bunch of games and golf all the time.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, if I had those two options, I guess I would take the $10 million and just golf all the time instead of just golf all the time.
Or be on his son's podcast. Austin's kicking it on his podcast. Right. Maybe just do that. Or get Austin Rivers to the Suns, be a backup guard. Could see that with dad coach. A lot of options out there.
All right. Like, we need the graphic, like Trey broke it down, like that it used to be like a thing I feel like you had in like grade school notebooks where it's like drag the thing to the right place.
Yeah,
so it's like,
sure,
we
got to
have
sure.
all the coaches over here, all the vacant spots over here, and where are you dragging your Nurses and your Docs and your Vogels and anyone else? I mean, the Raps still looking for somebody. Is that Nash? Pistons we think are going young, so probably not one of these big, big names.
Play the match game.
All right, let's take our final break. And when we come back, tweet of the night.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Okay, it's about that time to get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Tweet of the Night begins with a great Twitter handle, The Barf Tender, who tweeted, it's fitting on
a
bunch of levels, you know. Anyway.
The barf.
he or she just tweeted a photo of NBA news breaker. Our man at The Athletic, Shams Charania.
Yeah.
Hey, purple bucket hat.
Is that Tyler Hero?
Eddie Gonzalez of Run It Back wearing a Tyler Hero-like bucket hat, for sure. Beside our man, Shams Charania, at the game in Miami. Mm. It must suck going to a game with our guy, Shams. I love the guy. But my guy is not the guy I'm taking to a basketball game. He's just looking at his phone, as was grabbed by the barf tender. He's always looking at his phone. You can see Eddie beside him. Like, why am I with this guy here?
Yeah. Eddie's like, oh, I'd love to talk about the Celtics' run right now, the way Tatum's playing, Smart contributing, whether this goes six, can we go back to Miami? But yeah. Shams is like, he's like, hold on. I got to get this out.
Yeah. Shams is using his left hand. I'm not sure if he's left-handed or right-handed, but he's on his phone so much, as he said in his ads, that he's probably good with both hands, I imagine, on his phone. I mean, he was pumping out a few news stories last night. There was the coaches one.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks like mostly coach stuff,
Mostly coach stuff.
Coaching carousel. Yep. He's on it.
He's busy.
He's operating it. Shams! Make it go faster, Shams! I'm a finalist!
Latest news report, Doc Rivers likes a very fast carousel. That's his next tweet. He just tweeted it up. Also, Natasha Dye had this comment as well, saying about that photo, this is what an accurate cardboard cutout of Shams would look like. It looks very 2D. I think it's just the television. So to me, it is accurate. Listen, I'm just adding on to a tweet because it wasn't the best tweet in the world. It wasn't the best tweet.
That's a fine tweet.
No,
actually,
I got excited.
Fine tweet.
Yeah, because I was excited
Leo.
To see
I was
Shams.
Leo pointing at my TV.
That's Shams.
Yeah,
there he is. Stan Van Gundy said on the broadcast? He's like, I'd love to go to dinner with Shams, Woj, and Adam Schefter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
They said it on the broadcast.
I see. We would say, no, you don't.
Leave your phones at home.
Yeah. You're going to be having a conversation with your waiter. They're going to be too busy talking, breaking news.
Or maybe it'll just be like the hottest tweets of all time will be coming from that table. Because, I mean, Stan is a prolific tweeter as well.
That's good.
Like, you guys are on your phone? Fine. I'll tweet.
That's a good point.
I would love to talk go out Florida to dinner politics. With those guys and just tweet. Just tweet with each other.
Talk about our Twitter accounts. Yeah, that's probably what he was thinking. Actually, JD had this tweet as well ready, but he doesn't have it because I said we don't need it. Eddie Gonzalez tweeted it. So why am I bringing it up? Because I need to know. I need to know about this lingo. Eddie, who was beside Shams there, tweeted more conference finals tick than slim. Is tick in reference to his like hat? Is it just cool gear?
Wait, what?
I can't help you on this one.
More
I still
conference
don't...
finals tick than slim. According in regards to the photo, more conference finals.
Could he be
tick.
Saying I have more conference finals tickets than Slim Reaper Kevin Durant, who he works with? Kevin Durant, he's not in the conference finals. Eddie is at the conference finals.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that's what it's.
That's what the slim I assume.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah.
Got to be.
Okay.
Nice break.
Good stuff. There we go. Good stuff. We got there in the end. Also. You know who got out yesterday? JD finally saw Fast X. A lot of people have been wondering, hey, when's the next Fast Friends?
Whew.
We've all seen it now.
We have. And, well, Boston won, so it's going to be delayed a little bit.
Yeah, we
think.
Talked about if it ended in a sweep last night, maybe we would do it at the end of the week.
Yeah.
A Fast Friends episode reviewing Fast X. But now that it's going...
That's a lot to digest.
Here's the real question. Are you going to go see it again? Do you feel like you didn't, I assume you didn't take notes or anything when you're in the theater?
I did not, but I saw it at a movie tavern. So there was a desk in front of me basically. And I was
very
like,
convenient.
Yeah. But I forgot to bring my notebook.
Oh.
And then,
moleskin.
Yeah. I'm moleskin. Vin Diesel.
Did you bring your Labatts or your moleskins? Well, Trey said you were going to watch it twice, right?
I think I need to. First time I watched it, I was just grinning ear to ear.
He was having the time of his life.
The whole time. I was like, I can't believe it.
You really were enjoying it.
This is so much better than I expected. But I also didn't want to take notes. But I feel like if you saw it during the week, easy note-taking opportunity.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We could have at the one we saw. Noon on a Saturday.
Yeah.
There was space. So I assume noon on a Thursday, probably all right.
You know what? We saw it, the day after it came out?
Yep.
I was a little disappointed in our theater. The people watching it
should
with us.
Should have been more?
Not only that it wasn't packed, it was 12 o'clock on a Saturday. But I felt like we were the only ones going, oh! Yeah! Like, I thought there would be more, like... yelling.
There wasn't a lot of reactions.
This is Atlanta, man.
Yeah,
you've seen a movie
point.
Theater in Atlanta? It's like nonstop talking.
Must have been the early tip-off time.
Yeah, I guess so.
I saw it, I guess, around the same time. I saw it at 1 p.m., but it was cheap day.
Okay. And it was...
A lot of pops. A lot of, full-on applause.
Oh, we had none of that. I thought we had a very quiet, respectful theater, I thought.
Yeah, they were given the Vin Diesel performance, and JD apparently got the Jason Momoa performance from the crowd.
That's right.
Then again, it's so goddamn loud, maybe everybody was screaming.
That's great call.
And I know that's you sound like an old person automatically when you say that was loud, but that's a loud ass movie.
You guys saw it at the Dolby.
Yeah.
Shaking.
I felt like I was in the NOS chamber for most of this movie. What day's cheap day? Tuesdays?
Tuesdays at the Movie Tavern in Tucker.
Yeah. I like that.
$6.
$6?
$6.
I think we spent $25 on a matinee.
Yeah, they ain't got the Toretto twist in the Coke freestyle machine, though, do they?
Yeah, that looked pretty cool.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was it?
It was a Toretto twist was a Pib Extra with a smooth cherry laced.
A little Nas.
Laced with smooth cherry.
So
I liked it enough that I wanted to get a second one, but I couldn't leave the theater. I simply couldn't do it.
So no pee breaks for either?
No, I didn't either. Yeah. So locked in.
JD, I saluted the screen when it ended.
Really?
Yeah. They did it, man. They absolutely did it.
Okay, this is a great precursor to our Fast Friends.
Trailer for Fast Friends.
Yeah. We will. I guess the point of that was we will be doing it, don't you worry. I know there was some talk of, do we let it come to streaming? So, sort of more people can watch it. But who cares? Let's just do it.
Well, they can always revisit. Right?
Of course, of course. I mean, it's going to be filled with spoilers when we do our actual review.
This is what we do. We just do it, and then we just re-release it when it comes out on streaming.
Jeez, look at this
or guy. Just do it again when it comes out on streaming. That's what Fast and Furious does. Anytime they make a hit, they're like, yeah, let's just go back to that hit and redo it.
Yeah. We could have easily done a two-hour podcast on the trailer.
Yes.
So...
$6. I'm so excited. I'm going next
that's
Tuesday.
That's incredible. What is PIP?
You have to be a member, though. You have to sign up. But it's free membership.
What is PIP? What is it? Is it like Dr. Pepper?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
never had it.
Yeah, he just didn't get his degree. that's a Mitch Hedberg joke.
Mr. PIP.
Mr. PIP.
I always think it's going to taste like cinnamon, like a big red. Or...
It says, an intensely flavored, refreshing, spicy cherry alternative to regular cola. PIB Extra.
I don't know if this makes sense, but I think of it as Coca-Cola and Pepsi is ketchup, and then Mr. PIB and Dr. Pepper are barbecue sauce.
Wow. I've never heard that.
That's not bad.
Like a little extra spices.
It's a little sweeter, a little spicier.
Different.
You are a very, very, very white person if you think barbecue sauce is spicy.
Ooh. Let's say a little spicier than ketchup.
A little hickory.
No, I got you.
Seasoning.
Yes. Okay. Well, I like barbecue sauce, so I'm like...
Maybe it's because it has two B's in it. It's like two-thirds of the way to BBQ.
All right, guys, let's call it there. My goodness. Check out No Bunts over at the Athletic Baseball Show feed, YouTube, and podcast. Join us tomorrow here from the Classic Factory at 10 a.m. Eastern. We're going to have a show. There's no games on tonight, but we will have a show. We might hit the beach. So you know what? Get your questions in. Tweet them in at NoDunksInc, INC on the end. You can email them in as well, nodunks@theathletic.com. There might be more news in the NBA world, but we'll have a show, is what I'm saying, tomorrow morning. And then in the afternoon, we got a brand new No Buffs because we got 3 hours of Survivor to watch tonight.
Oh!
It is the season finale of Survivor 44 and the after show, so we'll have that in the afternoon.
Man,
so
the schedule is perfect. Shout out to the Nuggets for pulling off the sweep. Shout out to the Celtics for extending the series so we got something to talk about on Friday. And shout out to my kids' school district for having the last day of school today so our kids can stay up late watching the Survivor finale.
Wow.
Night! Let's go.
What goes on at school here in Atlanta?
Very little.
The school year lasts a long time, but there's a week break every 3 days, it feels like.
But even, you know, my buddy Grish, your buddy Grish, our buddy Grish, his kids, he's like, this is the final week of school. So that, in my mind, was like, final day means Friday. But same thing. He's like, no, they don't need to go now. It's like, now it's like, Tuesday was the last day, but you can go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday if you want.
Optional. I didn't know this.
Fascinating. Wait, really?
That's what he said.
Oh. Our kids didn't relay that to us.
Oh.
Like, the last day is Wednesday. That's it.
Oh.
We're not going in. Fine. The Lakers got two finals today.
Ooh.
So.
Ooh. All right. Good luck. Okay. Anyway, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. Let's circle all the way back to the beginning. We mentioned No Bunts. I mentioned Ronald Acuna. Mm-hmm. Trey gave me a side eye because Acuna is his team, and also, I promise you, I'll get you that bobblehead that I never got you one day.
Are they doing an Acuna bobblehead giveaway soon? I'm going this weekend. I'm going Saturday.
To the game?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I don't know. I'll check it out, though, for you.
Okay.
I'm all over that.
Embrace the day, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.